Morning, Rabbi Sai. First of all, two things. Number one, apologies to those people who are listening online, and maybe even the people who are listening here live. Some people are a bit still confused with the mishpachology. Exactly, Achov and Izevel and Atalia and their sons, etc., etc., etc. I had one person contact me yesterday, and I sent them out a sketch plan. If you like, I did a little rough sketch of the mishpachology. If anybody is confused, I do apologize. I hope that we got on to the point where you don't need to know the mishpachology anymore. We're getting to the beginning of the Haftorah. We've arrived at the beginning of the Haftorah according to the Ashkenazim, according to the Sfaradim. By the way, the story is brought down both in Melachim Beis Perek Yud Aleph, and in Divrei Hayomim Beis. Melachim was written by, anybody know? Melachim, who wrote Sefer Melachim? Melachim was written by Yirmiyahu Hanavi, soon after Churban HaBayis. He lived through the Churban of Bayis Rishon, and then he sat down, they say within the first 5 years of Churban HaBayis, Yirmiyahu sat down in order to write down the history of the Melachim of Bayis Rishon, both the Melachim of Malchei Yehuda and the Melachim of Malchei Yisrael. So that's Sefer Melachim as we have it written by Yirmiyahu HaNovi. We have the stories repeated in some cases, in this case, Taka, in greater detail in Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim is at the end of Kesuvim. Divrei Hayomim was written by Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer wrote it at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And he was writing the Sefer Divrei Hayomim to record the history of Malchei Yehuda during Bayis Rishon. But he starts from the beginning of the world. So Pasuk Aleph in Divrei Hayomim Aleph reads Odom Sheis Enosh. So he starts from Odom Rishon, and then he wants to put the Melachim of Bayis Rishon in context, the Melachim of Malchei Yehuda in context, and therefore he starts from the beginning of the world and he runs through the entire history of Klal Yisrael until he gets to the point where he wants to get, which is to discuss the Melachim in detail. And this story that we have with Yehoyosh the story of how he was saved and how he was rescued, etc., that you'll find in Divrei Hayomim as well. The Malbim goes through a lot of discrepancies that there are between the story as brought down in Divrei Hayomim and between the story as brought down in Sefer Melachim, and we'll discuss maybe one or two of those maybe tomorrow or Friday. Now we've got to the point where Yehoyosh has been hidden by Yehoyada HaKohen and his wife Yehosheva in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years. And Atalia has killed all the descendants of Yehuda, and she is reigning with an iron fist. She's been the queen for 6 years. And then Yehoyada HaKohen decided to instigate a rebellion against Atalia's rule. And it says, the Pasuk says, and this is how the Sfadim will start on this Shabbos, Vayichros Yehoyada es Habris. Yehoyada created two covenants. One covenant was between the people and the Ribbono Shel Olam to go back away from the Avodah Zorah and to return to the Avodah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, until now, Avodah Zorah was rife, encouraged by Atalia, encouraged by Achazia, encouraged by Yehoram in Yehuda. And the Ikka Avodah Zorah there was the Baal, and they decided that they were going to ditch the Baal, ditch the queen, ditch the rebellion, to create the rebellion in order to get rid of the existing Melucha and to start afresh and be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehoyada created two brisos between, it says there in Divrei Hayomim in detail exactly who he called up and how he made the arrangements, and he made sure that the army was loyal to him and that all the princes were loyal to him and the Levium were loyal to him, etc. And once he had it well organized, then they went to the ruined Beis HaMikdash, they set up the king's throne, and they created a coronation of the king Yehoyosh. Yehoyosh at the time was 7 years old, he was a child, he'd been hidden in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years, and now he became the king. They had a coronation, they placed the crown, they sat on the thing, there was music, and there were huge crowds, and everybody was celebrating. And Atalia, the queen, there's a big commotion going on in the Beis HaMikdash, she wants to know what it's about, and Atalia, the queen, comes to see what's going on. Atalia the queen arrives and she sees that they have that the people are dancing and the people are celebrating the coronation of the new king Yoram, who she thought was dead. She didn't know he was alive. She didn't know that he'd been hidden. Yeah, and she shouts, "Mered, Mered!" She says, "Treason!" She says, "This is treason! Kill them all!" But nobody listens to her. They arrested her. They took her out, and they executed her on the spot. And that, yeah, and now we get to the point where that's the point at which the Sfaradim introduction has finished, and the Ashkenazim start the Haftorah. Ben Sheva Shonim Yehoyosh B'molchoi. That Yehoyosh was 7 years old when he started his reign. And then we have a few more psukim, and then we get to the connection between this parsha and Parsha Shkolim, which Pleiada, hopefully when you say the Haftorah this week, Shabbos, you'll understand better what the Haftorah is about. We'll speak about some of the details over the next couple of days.
Started the Torah in Northwest London, Wednesday, Kaf Daled Shvat, 11th of February. Rabbi Osher Spry, Shlita, Kol Torah Chanuch, Burim Wood. What is Lechem? This week's Torah was sponsored by family Wiesenfeld, Lir Nishmas of Yitzchak, Rav Yaakov Wiesenfeld, Zichron Lebrocho. Ziyatzad is this coming Shabbos. Lir Nishmas, Morris, Chavad, Varabas, Rav Simchi, Yisrael, Dick, Ole Asholem. Ziyatzad is tomorrow. Lichvoy, the birth of a son to family Josh Weiler, Lir Nishmas, a founder of Yosef Dov, Ben, Rav Shimon Chol, Tzvi, Itzkovitz, Zichron Lebrocho.
Good morning. So, title, What is Lechem? I want to discuss two, what I feel were very pertinent shailas in regards to Passover kissing. Passover kissing is what you might refer to as mezonos bread or cake, rogeluch, or anything which is bread-like, but doesn't really have the status of bread itself. Now, what I want to explore, I think, two shayas that I had, personally, with just dealing with the sugya. One is, first of all, we know what's known about Passover kissing is that its bracha is mezonos, and after bracha is alamechia, except if you are kaveh asoda, if you have a meal out of it, exactly what that is, maybe we'll mention briefly what that is, but that's what the halacha we all know is, but in terms of Hilchos Brachos, how does that make sense? How can it be? What's its bracha at the end of the day? Is its bracha mezonos or is its bracha haboitzi? Why should a bracha depend whether you kaveh asoda or not? What's the understanding behind that? I want to try and suggest three mahalchim in that. And a second shayla is there's a big nidin out there in the poskim. Is mezonos bread an oxymoron or not? Can bread actually be mezonos? Something which is actually eaten as bread, if you look, I think predominantly in America, a lot of rabbonim hold that it's an oxymoron. It can't be something of mezonos and bread. If you look at the OU website, they also, based on Rebelsky's psak, who was the rov of OU, he's held very strongly that it's not possible for bread to be mezonos, because at the end of the day, it's bread. We'll have to discuss. Whereas we see, to go to the shops anywhere here in Northwest London, you'll see the bread says in it mezonos. Whether or not that means it's a shtempel from the Hechsher, okay, whatever, it's up for everyone else, is, I don't know if that, what the actual reality is, but it seems to be the minhag for many people that we do consider bread mezonos. I want to explore what is that debate about. Okay, so these are two shayas. Number one, why should the mezonos bread, why should anything which passes by kissing, why should it be dependent if you kaveh soda, then its bracha changes? That's one thing to understand. And the second to understand, what is this big debate about bread? Can it be mezonos? Okay, so let's first just see. It's very, very short. One of those sugyas which are very, very short in what it brings. And many halachas and many details come out from it. So I just want to read that very literally two lines in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Mem Beis. And this is where everything stems from, at least, although there is a bit more than what we're going to read out, but at least, but irrelevant to what we're talking about, these two lines. The Gemara says, Rav Huna ochal tlesa rifti b'nei tlosa tlosa v'kava. Rav Huna ate 13 pieces of roll or something. Each one was three to a kav. Okay, that was the size of them. B'nei birich, and he did not make a bracha. Now, the Rishonim say, what do you mean Leibirich? Of course you had to make a bracha. But Leibirich doesn't mean, although Rashi has a different understanding of this, Leibirich doesn't mean he didn't make a bracha, he means he didn't make the bracha you would have expected him to make. You would expect him to eat these loaves of small or bridge rolls, whatever they are. You would expect him to make Hamoiti and Berachas Hamazon. And he didn't, he made Mezainas and Aramechia. So, Rav Nachman says back to him, Adai Kafna, this what you're doing, although yes, you've eaten a type of thing which is Passover Kisnan, however, you've eaten it as a satiation. You've eaten it for a meal. And therefore, Ela kol sh'achirim koivin olav suda tzarech levarich. Rather, the halacha should be that if other people would be koivin suda on this, then you have to make a bracha. As in, you have to make a bracha that you expect to make, meaning Hamoitzi and Berachas Hamazon. Okay, so that is the discussion that goes on. It seems to be that Rav Huna agreed to him. At least the Gemara doesn't seem to say, doesn't justify Rav Huna. So we go with Rav Nachman, and that's a continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara brings one or two other stories relevant to that. Okay, but basically what the Gemara seems to be saying, if you have some sort of food, the Gemara doesn't describe exactly what it is, then, although you're right, if you don't eat it for a fixed meal, then you would make mezonos and amamichya. But if you eat the amount, sha'achirim koven on suda, that other people would be koveya suda, then you would make hamoitzi and berachas hamazon like normal. Now, just to point out, although we're not going to discuss this too much, but what the Gemara says is kol sha'achirim koven on suda. So, although people use this expression, if you're koveya suda on mezonos bread or anything, or rogoluch, whatever it is, then you would make, you have to bench, or make at least, also make hamotzi. It's misleading, because it's not necessarily if you're kaveh soda, rather if it is achirim kaveh soda, meaning it has to be the general population, maybe in your area, how would they have a meal? Now, what would they consider a meal? That's the place I'm saying. It's not dependent if you have to have a small stomach and you are able to be satiated with one slice of bread. Would that be considered a kaviyah suda? Probably not, but it's dependent on others. In fact, there's another interesting shayla. What happens if you got children? Would their kaviyah suda be the same as an adult? Or do you say the general population of that age of children, a 9-year-old, how much would they have to be kaviyah suda? So it is chinuch, but maybe their kaviyah suda is smaller. Maybe they'll be satiated with two slices of bread, as opposed to the adult will be four, let's say, for example. And the Bi'ur Halacha says also older people, someone who's reached an age where he doesn't have such appetite anymore, maybe also his type of kaviyah would be less than a younger person. So that's what you see. It's very interesting. It comes out that's the kaviyah suda is a misleading term because it would have to be dependent on achirim. Although there are rishonim, we don't pass them like them. There are rishonim who say it's dependent on both. Both if you're kaviyah suda or if achirim kaviyah suda. Okay, but we don't pass them like that. We pass them it's dependent on achirim, only what achirim are kaviyah suda of. And that's literally explicit in the Gemara. But, okay, so now let's explore this. Why is this? What's the justification of this? What's the background behind this halacha that if you're kaveh suda, you make hamotzi? If you're not kaveh suda, it's mezonos. What are we talking about? What is Passover kisn essentially? I think the first thing we have to discuss is: do we consider Passover kisn as bread? Is it considered lechem? That's the title of this drasha. What is lechem? Do we consider Passover kisn as lechem? Now, if you want to explore if Passover kisn is considered lechem, what halacha would you look to? You look to the chiyuv challah. Okay, look at the chiyuv challah. That's what Tira considers lechem. Meaning brachos is din derabanan. So it's not going to tell you essentially what it is. But if you look in the Torah, when the Torah says chiyuv challah, and the Torah calls challah lechem ba'aretz, and we want to know has Passover kisn got a chiyuv challah? And working backwards from there, we can work out, is it considered bread? So this is a machlekas between the Rosh and the Rambam. Again, this is not my comparison. This is Beis Yosef's comparison. Beis Yosef himself did this comparison. Now, the Rambam holds that if you have, his example is Issa Hanilation Me Peiris. You got a dough kneaded with fruit juice. Okay, which is one of the examples of Pasuk Kisson, we'll see a bit later on. But what's it then? Rambam Paskens in Hilchos Bechurim that it has a Shem Lechem and you are chayev the Midaraisa to take challah from it. The Rosh, on the other hand, holds that you're potter. Okay, so we have Machlokes Rishonim does one example of Pasuk Kisson. That is to say, a dough kneaded with fruit juice. Is that chayv and chala or not? The machlokes Rambam and the Rosh. Okay, so let's take this. Let's understand this. According to the Rosh, it's essentially we're saying it's not considered bread, and that's why it's not chayv chala. It hasn't got a status of bread. So let me ask you, why, when you kaveh suda, something the bracha changes? Bit nonsensical. Well, why should it change? Why should the bracha change? In fact, the chazanish asked the kasha, why on the Rosh? Why not should it change? Why should it make a difference? If it's not bread be'etzem, why would Chazal ascribe it a bracha of hamotzi when he kaveh suda? Chazanish stays shmeh. And I'm not going to answer the Rosh, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this kasha. But in the Rambam, I think it will be a bit easier to understand. The Rambam holds that really it has a status of bread. Okay, that's why you're chayv and challah. So the question would be, why? So now, okay, chayv and challah. So that means it's got a status of bread. Why would it be mezonos if you're not kaveh? So it says the Beis Yosef, and this is the crucial point. It says the Beis Yosef, because it's got these things mixed inside. Again, we'll have to explore what a Pasuk Kisson is in a few minutes, but because it's different to bread in the way it's comprised, the way it's made up, then that takes it out of bread because it's not the derech of Bnei Adam to eat it as bread. It's not generally eaten as bread. That's the idea. That's the idea. Meaning, yes, of course it's bread. Midaraisa is classified as bread, and that's why Chav and Challah. But since people don't eat it as bread, we're not going to, Chazal, in terms of brachas, gave the bracha to something that people eat as bread. And since people don't eat it as bread, it's going to be mezonos. So now the question is going to be, so why is it hamotzi when you kaveh suda? If Chazal said something which is not eaten as bread is mezonos, so why when you make hamotzi, and why when you kaveh suda is going to be hamotzi? So you're probably all thinking that, well, now you're eating it as bread. Now, when you're kaveh suda, then you can say you're eating it as bread. And this, similar to this, is actually what the Rashba says. The Rashba says, I'll read that as Loshen, you can see for yourself, judge for yourself what he means. He says that, k'sha'adam k'veh suda lov, ha'chshevei v'shavya pita. When someone is k'veh suda, he's machshevei, he gives a chashivas to it, and he considers it bread. Meaning to say, Chazal give the allowance that it's got a status of bread. Chazal downgraded it because it's not eaten as bread in terms of brachas. If you treat it as bread, then you give a chashivas of lechem, and it goes back to its original state. Okay? So that's why the bracha would change. That's one idea. Idea number two is the Ravid says. The Ravid is a very interesting concept. The Ravid says, you don't make hamotzi on bread which is less than a kazayas. So the opinion of the Ravid, we're passing like that. That's the opinion of the Ravid. We don't make a broch hamotzi on something that's less than a kazayas. You don't even make mezonos on it.